Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's message? Them's Fightin' Words. Based on our gospel reading from Matthew 5, permit me to read just the first few verses of this portion of Scripture. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." I invite you today to follow your sermon outline as we consider this theme, them's fighting words. These words of Jesus have been traditionally called the Beatitudes. They're very famous and very beautiful words, but don't let the beauty of Jesus' words here lull you into a peaceful sleep. These words of Jesus have become some of the most misunderstood and misapplied words in the entire Bible. To quote a slang expression, them's fightin' words. That is to say, these words of Jesus are so important, they need to be understood correctly, they are not to be abused. Read wrongly, these words of Jesus become a list of things we have to strive to do so the jaws of God's law do not snap shut upon us. But romanticized and sentimentalized, these words of Jesus become nothing more than a pretty slogan on a wall hanging in your front room. But read rightly, through the eyes of humble faith, these words of Jesus in the Beatitudes describe the life of blessedness that God has already given to his children. Now, at first glance, these Beatitudes, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, seem to present a formula, an if-then formula. They seem to present the formula. If you're poor in spirit, then yours is the kingdom of God. If you're meek, then you'll inherit the earth. If you're pure in heart, then you will see God. If then. But this makes the Christian faith nothing more than a cheap religion of payoffs. God, this morning, I've been really humble. Now, give me what I'm asking for. God, I pray every day and go to church every Sunday. Now, take care of my health problem and my finances. God, I thank you that I'm not like those proud and selfish, unbelieving neighbors of mine. Now, give me what I deserve. Maybe we're not as crass as that. But too often we can live the Christian life grudgingly with the hope of getting a payoff from God. If I strive to do these things, God, then I'll be blessed by you. It's at this point the Beatitudes snap close upon us like a trap. Jesus told the people of his day, if they plan to use God's word and his commands as a payoff formula, there was only one small minor stipulation. He speaks of it in the same chapter, Matthew 5, verse 48. He says this, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Whoops! No one can keep God's law perfectly. We are sinners. And woe to us if we get what our sins deserve. The if, then, if I do this, then I'll get that formula is a trap ready to crush us. Looked upon this way, the Beatitudes become a curse, not a blessing. No, these words of Jesus, the Beatitudes, cannot be treated like a payoff formula. But on the other hand, if we read the Beatitudes of Jesus like a cute little wall poster slogan that we hang up on the wall of our homes, we're also in trouble. Because if we treat them like that, we're not being honest with ourselves or with God. We will try to do something impossible, to live in two different worlds, the world of Sunday religion and the world of real life. If the words, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, and all the rest are just pretty words in a wall slogan, then again, we're trying to live in two opposite worlds. A spiritual, non-practical world of Sunday religion that just isn't real. And a Monday through Saturday real world where the theme of life around us is this. Blessed are those who are rich in things because they're the winners. Blessed are the pleasure seekers. For they'll be really happy. Blessed are the powerful, because they'll never need anything from anyone. Blessed are the selfish, for they will always keep one step ahead of everybody else. You see, these Beatitudes of Jesus only offer two choices. Are you ready for the choices? These Beatitudes of Jesus offer only two choices. Be blessed by the world's standards, or be blessed by God's standards. Jesus, the preacher of the Beatitudes, tells us here, a war is being waged right now between the values of this sinful world and the values of a holy God. And here's where these Beatitudes become. Would you say it with me? Here's where the Beatitudes become them fighting words. The Beatitudes declare war. The Beatitudes have to do with our attitudes, our style of life, how we treat others. The Beatitudes declare war on the proud, the selfish, the self-righteous, the forces of evil, and on our own sinful flesh. Misread is either a payoff formula or a cute wall poster. These Beatitudes reveal that we are helpless in our sin. And by the way, this is precisely the point how we can understand them correctly. The Beatitudes are meant for those of us who know we are helpless. Helpless, but who know who our true helper is. When we honestly confess to God, I am a sinner. I need a forgiving Savior. Then these Beatitudes become blessings. Why? Because he who spoke the Beatitudes is himself the Beatitude. Jesus is the poor in spirit who humbled himself all the way to the cross. Jesus is the one who mourns for us sinners. Jesus is the meek and gentle, humble son of Mary and Joseph. Jesus is the merciful one who has mercy on us sinners. Jesus is the pure of heart who is pure and sinless and holy and went to the cross for us in that way. Jesus is the peacemaker who brings us peace with Almighty God. Did you notice the outcome of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5? Listen to how Jesus ends the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you. Jesus says that persecution and even death can be the result of the war between the values of God and the values of this sinful world. But what about what happened on the cross? On a cross of pain and shame, where our dear Lord Jesus is despised and mocked and forsaken, is that where it ends for him? Is Jesus on the cross the end of the Beatitudes? No, it's the beginning. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 15 says. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On that first Easter morning, as Jesus rises from an empty tomb, a victory song is sung. He is risen. He has won the battle. Our sins are forgiven. All that he has done for you. The gates of heaven, the blessings of God are open wide. Through the crucified and risen Jesus, we are given, do you hear? We are given every blessing. We are given every beatitude. And if you've tuned out to the sermon so far, now's the time to tune in. Because here comes the main point. The Beatitudes of Matthew 5 are not an if-then payoff formula. They're not a pretty words put on a slogan, put on a poster on your living room wall. The Beatitudes of Matthew 5 are the promises of God's kingdom. They are God's gifts to his children. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 describe the life of those who have life in Jesus' name, because the Spirit of God lives in their hearts right now. You are the blessed ones of God. You see, Jesus is forming us. Jesus is forming us into his people, who are the merciful, the poor in heart, the peacemakers. And we are blessed even when the world around us doesn't even notice it. With his Holy Spirit living on us and working through us, you are the blessed ones. Blessed is that faithful mother, grandmother, and wife who works so hard without any worldly praise, taking care of her children, her grandchildren, and her husband, and maybe even working a paying job on the side. Blessed are you. Blessed is that faithful husband, father, grandfather, who provides for his family, denying himself his personal wants and needs to stand up and be a real man of God. Blessed are you. Blessed is that single person who remains true to God's values when it would be so much easier these days to just follow the crowd. Blessed is that school student who takes a stand for what is right and God-pleasing when peer pressure shouts, turn your back on God. Oh, them blessed fighting words. Blessed are you, child of God. Blessed are you, poor in spirit. Blessed are you, one who mourns. Blessed are you, the meek. Blessed are you, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Blessed are you in the back row, the merciful. Blessed are you, the pure in heart. Blessed are you, the peacemaker. Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Why? Because in Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus says to you this day, be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown to everlasting life. Blessed are you in the name of Jesus. Amen.